and welcome to Future Library. I'm joined today by two members of a band that have been around for a while. I once gave them a 6 out of 5 review in Is This Music, when I used to write for that Scottish music magazine many years ago. I'm joined by, let me just bring my details up to make sure I'm not getting anybody's names wrong here, I'm joined by CD Shade and Matt from Mouse Eat Mouse. How are you both?
Very well, thank you.
Hi, fine.
We have struggled to get Skype doing what it should do this morning, and everything is working fine. Obviously, I know a bit about the band. There'll be some listeners who don't know anything about the band. Do you want to tell us a bit about it? You can decide who goes first out of the two of you. Tell us a bit about Mousey. Well, you could start off maybe by telling us a bit about yourselves as individuals, and then you can tell us about the band. How does that sound?
Okay.
Do you want to go for CD?
I started the band back in 90. I think it was 91. I'd been doing some work for regular music. They needed if they put on acts and they needed a break, I'd go on and go on first and just give them a chance to have a booze interlude. Mm-hmm. You know, when you go to see a band, you go to the bar. Well, most people do. Mm-hmm. And skip the support. I was that support.
Right.
They said they wanted some music behind me. So I got a guy to come along with a bit of guitar, and then then we got a bass, and we got drums, and we got keyboards, and it became Mouse Eat Mouse.
So it's good. It became an accidental band.
Yeah, yeah. I was originally. I went to art school and I did drama, and when I left drama school, I started a company called Foots Barn Theatre it's still going now, years after years. It's now residence in France, and it's got about 500 companies that have sprouted out of that company over the last so many years, all over the world, in fact. So they've disowned me now, but that's okay. I've got Mouse Eat Mouse. And I must say, you know, to skip forward, that is in the past. So the band went through a lot of changes. Mm-hmm. But finally it's come to rest in, the music has come to rest in Matt's hands. And I think probably... it'd be good to hear what his story.
Yeah, absolutely. It leads very neatly into Matt. Tell us about yourself, Matt.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of an accidental member of the band as well. I was in an attempt to get out of my real job. I did a bit of audio engineering for a couple of years, and was looking for projects to record. And a relative who's a good friend of Andrew of CD. Said, you know, they were recording an album, go and see them. So I did. Essentially, it was a bit fortuitous. I had use of a studio. Mm-hmm. And as long as they were prepared to put up with my amateurish recordings, then, you know, it would be done for free. But about 2 weeks into that, the guys needed a... Just get a chair. Sorry, I've got a sick 3-year-old shitting
That's
at me.
Okay.
They needed a bass player within about a couple of weeks of meeting them, and I'm a guitarist primarily, but I had a bass. Mm-hmm. So I said, yeah, taught myself quite quickly, and we recorded an album. But that got a little bit out of hand. It sounded, it ended up a bit loud and sounded a bit like an indie band, and the poetry and the lyrics were lost completely. Mm-hmm. So we scrapped it entirely and started from the beginning again. And with the new album, it's more or less all done at home, mm-hmm. Or at Andrew's house, on equipment that I had anyway. So there's nothing professional on the album as far as the recording goes. Although we did get it mastered properly. And it seems to work a lot better with attention being paid to the lyrics and what they mean and going with the feel of the whole thing and getting away from that whole band feel, which was getting a wee bit out of hand. So it was all accidental again. I came in quite late. And like I said, a whole album got done, then scrapped and then done again. And what's out now is the finished product.
So you're saying there's a unreleased Mouse Eat Mouse album sitting around somewhere on a hard drive in a kind of a morgue of indie rock kind of style.
That's exactly it, yeah.
You never tempted to release it just as a little kind of oddity for people to hear?
Well, there's one or two of the tracks that are really good. We weren't entirely happy with it, but it's there, and it's all properly done.
Unfortunately, as it goes with that, we had to redo music for legal reasons and various reasons like that, because we had a very disenchanted chappy who wanted to be the leader of Mouse Eat Mouse, and we don't have any leaders.
Right.
So we got, you know, so we redid it totally. Strangely enough, there's a strange thing about Mouse Eat Mouse. Two of the original members were both called, had the same name.
Right.
One was 5 foot and a bit, another one was about just under 7 foot. And he was called J.J. White, John White, and the Wee John I started off with. That's how Mouse Eat Mouse came around. Mm-hmm. Wee John was the instigator on the music side with me. But then Big John took over as being the writer of the tunes.
Right.
And John pulled out. He's still a very good friend of the band, but he went off to do other things. Most of the new tunes are by him and Matt. So that's how, you know, it's, you know, how things happen in life, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So. I'm really happy because I think Matt is a perfect partner for me in Mouse Eat Mouse, because he really likes the words to be heard.
Yes.
And and fair enough, guys. Some of the guys in the other band weren't terribly interested. Well, one or two. One was quite antagonistic, which I found very strange why he wanted to play with us. But there you are.
Because it's one of the things that for listeners who aren't aware. I mean, the main thing that really stands out about Mouse Eat Mouse is the lyrics. And that's not taking anything away from the music, but the lyrics and the way the vocals are performed, I'd say, is kind of the, for want of a better way of putting it, the unique selling point of the band. Because you obviously perform using kind of proper kind of old Scots dialect a lot of the time, so it's a lot of words that maybe a lot of listeners wouldn't be familiar with. But I think, yeah, it seems to me that it'd be odd that you'd have somebody in the band then wanting to hide that behind a wall of noise or something. That seems quite unusual. I can't imagine why they'd want to do that, certainly in the band that you're in.
That is puzzling, because I always knew that, I mean, okay, the words, etc., are important, but it needs the music.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't work without the music, how it does. It's really, I mean, I have to put my hands up and say I'm quite, I'm unmusical. I can play guitar, all the chords and all the scales, but I can't get a tune.
Right.
Let's put it that way. And I depend on Matt's playing for me to skate over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And the old band only went so far and could only facilitate that so far before it imploded.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gone on to something completely new, which I feel much more comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you feel more comfortable with it, Matt.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. The crowd that are there just now are all of the same mind. It's very good. It's very good.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the thing is, I mean, obviously, if it's... I should give a bit of background as well here. I mean, Mail It came out in 2006, I believe. And then there seemed to be suddenly this kind of big gap. We obviously played some shows after it. And then it seemed that the band disappeared for a bit. And then you suddenly just reappeared, almost out of nowhere, with more work. But now you've told me that the band actually started in the early 90s. I take it that...
It wasn't the 90s. It was about 2001.
Oh, right, okay. So there was a kind of... But there was still a kind of a gap between starting and the first album, and then... The first album and the second album. But the gap between the starting and the first album now makes more sense to me of the gap between the first album and the second album, if you see what I mean. It doesn't suddenly seem like such a long gap. It seems to make sense in terms of the lifetime of the band.
Not getting too complex about it, but... Me coming from like a theatre background, things like that. Pardon?
No, what was that? You suddenly went all fuzzy, but it's all good.
Yeah. From that background, and for me to marry up with indie musicians,
mm-hmm,
was quite a complex thing because my background, You cannot be late when you're doing rehearsals in the theatre.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot be unprofessional. But what you're dealing with is a group of people who, as young lads, got together. They all had success in bands, and of course they only know that way of working.
Uh-huh.
But what happens, they also grow up in outside jobs, but when they get back into a rehearsal room, they return to being not like teenagers, but the kind of work ethic is like that.
Yes.
And they all want leaders and they all fight for things like that, whereas I've always fought against like that. When I worked in the theatre, I didn't like working with directors. I thought the actors should be able to direct one another, etc. Because then you just get positions of power. You get hierarchies. I dislike hierarchies intensely.
Mm-hmm.
But in the theatre, you get actors depending on the directors, you know, like their mummy or their daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's very good for creativity. And by listening to your stuff, I think you probably think like that as well.
Yeah, well, my attitude towards these things is that you just do what happens. I kind of I just allow it to happen. There's no kind of I'm not big on dictating, if you see what I mean. If I'm working with other people, I just like other people to be able to almost control the pace themselves and bring what they're bringing. Let me reword this. If you're going to work with other people, you're working with other people because you want their input. It's because you just want to tell them what to do. You know, if I want to have somebody else involved in my music, it's because I want that person to do something. Because if I just wanted somebody to play the guitar, I could do that myself. So, you know, I think you need the input of others, so... Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's important. So were you finding that... Go on.
Sorry. Now, I was just going to sort of bring Matt into it and see how he feels about it.
Yeah.
Well, no, I do completely agree. And I mean, especially recently, we did a show, Alex, on the 1st of December in Glasgow. There's a new magazine or online magazine that's been set up by a young guy trying to expose, you know, original poetry and original music, original Scottish poetry and music anyway. And it was a kind of showcase for that. he worked in a place that used to sell, it was some coffee shop thing that used to sell music. Anyway, he emailed me because he'd found about a dozen copies of Mir Licht in their basement.
Right.
And listened to it and, you know, thought this was great and said, can you do a show in 6 weeks? And I immediately said yes. But by that point, Andrew and I were the only surviving members, and I had 5 or 6 weeks to get a group together. And it worked out really, really well. You know, everyone seems to have the same mind. I found a guy who's a radiologist but plays bass. Mm-hmm. You know, he was kind of nervous. What will I do? He said, we'll do what you like. Found someone else who plays clarinet professionally. He said, what will I do? We'll do what you like. And another guy that runs a local music shop that I go to, and it was the same thing. And it was just lovely. No egos. Everyone listened to the music. Came up with their own thing, and we just went with it, and it was lovely. Everyone seemed to be of the same mind, so yeah, I agree, and we've been very lucky that this is the crowd we have together just now.
Well, I think it's very important that you have, because I think it's a thing that's very much overlooked with what musicians should be doing in bands, and that's listening to what the other members of the band are doing. And I've always felt that that's certainly, I mean, because I do a lot of kind of improvised stuff when I get a chance to. When I play with other people, it tends to be nowadays completely kind of improv. But I've always thought that the most important part of really playing in any band is not really remembering what you're supposed to play next. It's listening to what everybody else is doing so you can react to that. And if everybody else is doing the same thing, then you get this nice kind of... yeah, everything seems to flow far, far more pleasantly. There's a sort of sense of creating something good when that happens, in my experience.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really nice feeling as well. It's very relaxing, and I mean, I think, well, especially with the show in December, it's the first time in years where, I mean, I've done singer songwriter stuff myself. I've played on stage for years and. You know, you kind of get match fit after a while, but it had been a long time since I was able to completely forget what I was doing, what I was supposed to be doing, and batter 7 shades of shit out of my guitar and not really care. Mm-hmm. It was lovely because you knew the group were all listening to each other and we're all feeding off each other. And yeah, it's a really nice feeling.
It really makes a big difference, doesn't it? Because it makes things feel far more relaxed. But I mean, so the first album was Mir Licht. That was the one that, as I said at the start of the show, I gave a glowing review to in Is This Music, because it was such a spectacularly good record. The new album is called Woof, I believe. That's a mouse trap on the cover I'm looking at. A little kind of stylized mouse trap, I believe. Would that be right?
Well, yeah. It's a logo that a Welsh guy in Wales did for us. He thought it summed up what we did.
Excellent. So the view, any listeners can see that, and there'll be a link to this in the information about the podcast, but it's at mouseeatmouse.bandcamp.com. I'm looking at this. So the new album's come out at last. So is this start? Does this mark the beginning of a new kind of period of action for the band?
Yeah, that's the plan. Yeah,
so it's going to be a lot more shows, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's on board. There aren't any booked shows, but there's a few people going to be organising things for us, and the current group will stay together. And we're in the process of organising it, but certainly more shows. Yeah.
Excellent. That's what we like to hear. And
well, the problem we
go on.
Sorry, no. The problem we had with when Mir Licht came out, we had we had a record company, and then we, then someone came along to manage us, and then the management took over the record company, and they both disappeared. So we're just hanging around in the wind, as it were, because I know nothing about the music industry, or I can email, that's, and I'm on Skype, so I'm pretty proud of myself. So anything that we do now is just by chance. If someone says, do you want to do this or do that? If it's not the, if we feel we can go along with the people that are doing it, we'll say yes. And of course, we're recording again, which is great. And Matt has managed to work out a way that we can record whenever we want, instead of having to go into studios, etc., into rehearsal rooms, etc. We just do it at our own pace, and by doing that, the pace is going to quicken. Mm. I hope.
Well, it's one of the things that's a real benefit of the way technology has moved on, is that you can now record at home and get something that is as high, if not higher quality, than some of the studios that were kicking around 10 years ago. I'm a firm believer in home recording, because it allows you to, as you say, work at your own pace, not have to clock watch. And you get something, if something isn't working, you can, instead of panicking and going, oh, well, we're spending however much per hour on this, you could go, okay, well, let's put that to one side and do something else for a bit. And, I think it's good. The fact that you're also on Bandcamp means that you've kind of got the control of it again now. So, mm-hmm. You're not stuck to a label. Increasingly,
We're in a really good place. Mm-hmm. If we were just organised.
What's that?
The studio has been stormed.
we've got a third guest on the show asking what's that. I do have a question though, because you obviously got the Bandcamp page up now with the new album on. Do you have the rights to the first album? Do you still have the copyright to that one?
Well, it's shared by all the people that played on it.
So, are they preventing it from going up online?
Or? No, not at all. It could go up online if someone put it up online. It's not going to be me.
Well, I was thinking, because it might be, and this is just me talking from my point of view, because I think a lot of people would like that record as well, and it might be, because there's only the one on Bandcamp at the moment. It always seems like a good plan in my head that people put everything up that they've got that's out and released. If you don't want to do it that way, is there anywhere else that people can get the first album from?
I'm pretty sure it's Amazon still distributor, Andrew.
Right.
Let's have a look.
Shows you how much I know. What do you think about sticking it on Bandcamp?
Well, it's easy enough to do. As long as the other guys agree, I'll stick it up.
Can still get it on. In fact, you can get it on. You can get it on Amazon, and you can also get it as MP3s on Amazon. So,
right,
you can down. You can get a download version. So, if listeners are wanting to hear it immediately, then it is available as an MP3 download on Amazon. So,
the only thing about the it not being anywhere in particular is down to inefficiency on our behalf. nothing else.
Well, you see, you're now stepping into this next stage of kind of of action, and that's the time to pull these things together.
Yeah.
I feel a bit like I'm lecturing you. I shouldn't be doing that, sorry.
That's okay. We can take lecture too. We know our faults. Inabilities.
I see. You see, my only thought in it is just that I think it deserves to be heard. I think both albums are very good and deserve to be heard. And the more people that can hear them, the better. The best for Mouse Eat Mouse is yet to come in terms of being well known and stuff. So, that's my opinion. There's still, you've built up to now, and now it's the big push. Possibly. I don't know. I'm just making it up.
That's the plan.
Very affirmative of you.
But there you go. You have to be positive about these things. I think if a band's good, and let's be honest, there's nobody else, as far as I am aware, anywhere in the world that sounds like Mouse Eat Mouse. In any of the incarnations you've had, or the current incarnation. So you've got something that nobody else has got. Everybody else is just kind of doing their kind of indie rock thing, or sounding like the Foo Fighters or Oasis or whatever. So there's something, there's something there that I think there's a success ahead, I think, possibly. I hope.
Well, then you are.
So I'm trying to be. I'm kind of pep talking. It's time. It's time for Mousey Mouse.
It's very good of you.
Well, this is what this podcast's for. You see, this is what the show is about. Is about things that I think are good, and exposing that to other people so that they'll maybe go and listen to it. I suppose it's a little bit like when I used to write record reviews. I liked writing the reviews, the things I thought were good, and eventually got very tired of writing reviews of things I thought were bad. Even though the bad reviews can be fun to write, because you can be a bit more creative with the way you're writing it. It's far easier to give something a kicking. If you want to be quite kind of florid with the way you're describing it. And I used to kind of enjoy coming up with more and more creative insults for different bands. But on the other hand, it's actually really nice to be positive about things and say, this band is really good. You should go and listen to them. And that's what I'm doing. So, yeah.
Good.
There you go.
I always, whenever I see anyone on stage, I always think, good for you. Get up there, giving it. Even if it's nonsense, at least the bottle to get up there and do something. And it's very hard to be critical and encouraging at the same time, isn't it?
Yes. It's one of these things. I think it's there's the difficulty that if you think a band, and this has happened to me in the past, where I think a band has got potential, but I think they're not quite there, or something that they're doing is really bad, but the rest of it could be really good. It is balancing that thing, because I think it's human nature that when you read a review, that you kind of concentrate on the negatives. It's like, over the years, for the various projects I've done, certainly kind of in the early noughties, there were quite a lot of very positive reviews for what I was doing, but there were one or two negative reviews, and it's the negative ones I remember, and the vast majority of the good ones, I couldn't tell you any of them. But it's always the way I think that we concentrate on, when people say we're shit, we kind of go, oh no, and that's what sticks. And when...
good shit, bad shit.
Well, that's it. It's like when you've got 10 people telling you you're good, you go, oh yeah, thank you. And when one person goes, you're shit, you're kind of obsessed on that, going, why have they said I'm shit? Why? What have I done that's so shit? What have I done to offend them? And that's it. You kind of start thinking, why have I offended this one individual? And I always tried to make sure in my reviews and in my kind of online behaviour that if I was kind of criticising a band, I tried to make it clear that it was the band I was criticising and not the people in it. But I think it's very difficult when you're in a band to divorce those two things. It's the entity of the band as a whole and the people within the band. And similarly, if you're kind of, the other way around and you've fallen out with an individual, it's difficult for that individual not to think you're attacking their band if you're attacking them. So it's a whole slippery slope of problems writing reviews for things, which is why it's nice to write nice reviews and give people scores that are actually technically impossible in the magazine it was written for. So I did get told by the editor that was the only time I'd be allowed to do that. So, which is
so awesome. Are you still in contact with Stuart McHugh?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yeah, absolutely. On Facebook, I'm still in contact with Stuart. So
he's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a tremendous guy.
Hey, yeah, he was a great supporter of ours when we first started. He was really good.
Yeah, he's one of these people, I think, that he deserves far more credit than he gets. I do mean to get him onto the show at some point, because I think single-handedly he's done far more for Scottish music as a whole over the last 20 years than anybody else, than any other individual. You know, I think
I know nothing, but I agree with that.
Yeah, he's been so he's cheerleaded for so many things and kept doing it. I don't think there's any kind of financial reward in it for him or anything. He just does it, and he's a lovely bloke. So yeah,
he's finding it tough to get people to do reviews for him at the moment.
Well, if anybody's listening and wants to review for Is This Music, then,
can we advertise for him?
Oh, of course we can. Yes, my podcast. We can do whatever we like. Yes, absolutely. If anybody's listening and wants to write reviews for Is This Music, contact editor@isthismusic.com. I think that's his email address. So.
And a gold medal for Stuart.
Absolutely, yeah. He needs to get kind of the Scottish equivalent of an OBE or something, I think. Yeah, I think he's...
we'll think about that.
Yeah. So, we should draw things to a close. So, is there anything you would like to tell us about what's coming next before we do that?
Well, there's a few... I have some lyrics from Andrew within the last few days. I have some music already written. We need to put those together. No dates as yet, but we should have a show coming up. Then I'm down near the borders now, so round about this area at some point fairly soon. Hopefully there'll be a show with the new stuff. That's the plan. And round about that time, I'm finally ditching my day job. Well, I'm going to work part time, try and spend a lot more time doing music. So it should hopefully all come together. At the same time.
That's what you hope for, isn't it? So is this the beginnings of album 3 almost that you're looking at now?
Yeah, pretty much. Yep.
I see. This is a proper period of activity, isn't it? You've come back, you've released album 2 and you're starting album 3 straight away.
What we've got coming up in Scotland in the next year is the referendum.
Yes.
So we're looking at that, and there's going to be a few lyrics about that.
Fantastic!
How we can disintegrate the United Kingdom into as many parts as possible.
and I fully support that. You see, I was actually born in Glasgow, so I'm all for Scottish independence because it means I'd get a Scottish passport.
Excellent.
And I'd like that. So,
well, look, I'm not so sure because I was born in Manchester, so
Oh, yeah, I can see. Yeah.
I'm definitely for I'm a yes voter, but I say it from an outsider's point of view, as you can hear by my accent. I've not spent very long here, only since I was 3 months old.
Well, I was going to say, I think there's a certain kind of comedy to be found in the fact that yourself, who is renowned for writing in the broad Scots dialect,
sorry to be pernickety here, but it's not the... It's the Scots language.
Yes, that's what I should be saying. It's not really a dialect, is it?
It's not a dialect, and it's not old. It still remains within us.
Fantastic.
It's just that people who really love the no language have picked the language up again because it's like Welsh and Gaelic. If you spoke it, people called it slang, and you were put to the back of the classroom and put a big knot round your neck, etc. But now we understand, well, most of us understand that it's a language, and within Scots, there are various dialects.
Yes.
You get dialects. That's what makes a language that has dialects.
Yes, I happily stand corrected on this.
I don't wish to be pedantic about it, but I think it's an interesting fact. And like when I first started writing in Scots, a new horizon, poetic horizon opened up for me. It's like, you know, it's not saying it's better than English or better than Gaelic or better than this and that. It's just if you have a second language, it opens your horizon up.
Yeah, absolutely. It's giving you another palette for your paintings, isn't it?
So yeah. And I'm not picking you up on that at all. I'm just trying to explain.
I'm happy to be picked up on these things because I was kind of aware as I was saying it that and I've said it a couple of times during the podcast, I was aware as I was saying it that I was maybe kind of not wording it correctly because I was aware that it's not really a dialect, it's a language in its own right. So, yeah, I'm more than happy to be corrected on these things. So do not worry about that. So where would people go to? Go on.
I can't remember who said it. It was either Foucault or Levi Strauss. It probably was Levi Strauss said, if you have a fragment of a language, you can rediscover that language and the culture that went with it. And that's my basis of the argument for perpetuating it.
And that seems to me to be a very noble reason to do it. That seems to be...
It's not noble. Not noble. It's conaptious.
Well, if people want to find more out about the band, you've got obviously the Bandcamp page we've mentioned, which I'll mention again, which is mouseeatmouse.bandcamp.com. Is there anywhere else that people can go online to find out more information?
Yeah, there's a Facebook page and a Twitter page as well.
Fantastic. I will put links to all of these things in the podcast description for listeners to follow up. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you ever so much for both coming on. So I think, is there anything else you'd like to add before we finish? Is there anything you'd like to say to the listeners?
Andrew?
I'd just like to say to Alex, it's great to finally caught up with you.
Absolutely. I agree.
I will never forget the 6 stars. If I can return the compliment at any time, maybe I can ask you, who's your biggest influence, Philip Glass, John Cage, or Stockhausen?
I don't know. I'm not over.
Do you know why I asked that question?
Go on.
Well, I'm just saying, do you know why I asked that question?
I'm not sure. Go ahead.
Does it make sense?
I'm familiar with the musicians.
Because it points out that I've been paying attention to what you do.
Ah, yes. Well, I had a... Yeah. I think that's really...
Is that unfair?
No, I think that's very nice. I think it's maybe giving me more credit than I deserve. because I tend to make it up as I go along. And though being aware of those musicians, I'm not kind of fully up to speed with them. I got a little bit of Philip Glass, I think, on my iPod. I don't think I actually... you know what? I think, to my eternal shame, but I don't think I've actually even ever heard any Stockhausen.
Can send you crazy. No, I wouldn't send you crazy because you're crazy already. So I say that from one nutter to another. Stockhausen is quite... It will send you a bit funny.
I will get on Spotify later on today and I shall listen to some Stockhausen.
Listen to it. Let me know what you make of it.
Will do.
I once had to edit some Stockhausen for a play, and that to be fair, it wasn't him that sent me crazy. It was trying to edit him, and I deserved the craziness it had me.
Fantastic. Right, well, we shall draw things to a close. As I say, everybody who's listening, you should definitely go and check out Mouse Eat Mouse. You will not regret doing so. And I suppose all that's left now is to say a Future Library goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye, thank you.
Doodle pip.
Thank you for downloading this episode of Future Library. Future Library is brought to you by PetPiranha.com and is hosted by myself, Alex Botton. The podcast is free, but if you do want to show your appreciation, feel free to go along to alexbotton.co.uk and click through to music, where you'll be able to find things that you can buy, or go to asmallglassghost.co.uk where you can buy my latest music. Episodes come out when I feel like it, mostly weekly. But that's it, so thank you for listening.